transhumanism. Last October, I was at a seminar where we were challenged to ask or to speculate on some issue that we thought might be hitting us as pastors, as churches, as ministries in the next 25 years or so, and something that perhaps isn't on the radar screen very much right now, but might be hitting us. And I suggested transhumanism. And a lot of people, I think, kind of shook their heads at that and kind of really didn't know what I was talking about. Got a lot of blank looks. And transhumanism, if you're not familiar with it, in a nutshell, basically is the effort through things like nanotechnology, bioengineering, genetic engineering, different things of that nature to fundamentally alter and change human beings in an effort, at least in their mind, to improve and upgrade us, and eventually even to be able to upload our consciousness into computers, into robots, into the cloud. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to being received up into the cloud when Jesus comes back for me. That's what I'm looking forward to, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But this idea, I was thinking about this because there was an article recently that I saw online called Google Wants You to Live Forever. And they're talking about how soon we ought to be able to live to be 500 years old and then beyond that. And it's all this idea that we have in the Bible. The Bible tells us that because of the curse of sin, we have the curse which causes us to die. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And ever since then, man has been attempting through the work of his own hands to overcome the curse of sin, which is death. And we see in Genesis chapter 3, where that curse is instituted, but prior to that, the devil is lying to Eve, and he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And of course, he goes back and forth with Eve. He's trying to beguile her, as the Bible says, into eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Eve makes objections here, the devil says in verse 4, "Ye shall not surely die." And then he goes on a step further in verse 5 and says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And that's the lie of the devil. Ye shall be as gods. And that finds its way down through human history all the way today in this idea of transhumanism. You feel like you're limited in your physical abilities? Well, you can be like a god. You'll have superhuman strength, superhuman speed, improved vision to be able to see ultraviolet, infrared, and all kinds of things. Super hearing, you know, just think of Superman in the comic books. You could be like a god. And I actually thinking of Superman, I remember hearing an advertisement for one of the Superman movies that was out. I remember just a little clip where somebody suggested that when Superman arrived on the Earth, growing up amongst Earthlings, he would be like a god, and that certainly is the case. And in fact, back in the 1980s, when they did a series of Superman movies, there was one character named Zod. And I just remember him in particular. And he demanded to be worshipped as a god. He came from the same planet, Krypton, that Superman came from. And so with his super abilities, he claimed to be a god, or wanted to be worshipped as a god. And that's the allure here. You can be like a god with this. And your intelligence will be greatly expanded. You'll have a computer-like memory, all these sorts of things. And some of the stuff, I mean, sounds reasonable. You know, hearing aids, pacemakers, having hip replacement surgery or knee replacement surgery, things of that nature, being able to overcome spinal injuries and all that. But fundamentally, there's this desire in man to, through the work of man's hands, to overcome the effects of the curse, which ultimately is sin and death. And we see the case of Cain and Abel in the Bible, And, of course, in Genesis chapter 4, Cain tried to overcome the works of the curse through his own effort. The earth was cursed to bring forth weeds, thorns, thistles, and have to work by the sweat of his brow. And he overcame the curse of the earth to produce produce, which he brought as an offering to God to show, look what I have done. I have, through my own hands, overcome the curse. And his brother Abel, on the other hand, recognized that the wages of sin is death, and that because of sin, God demanded a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, meaning no payment or forgiveness of sin there. And he brought a lamb, which he sacrificed and shed its blood. That also harkens back to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve, after they disobeyed God and they came under the curse of sin, they clothed themselves with fig leaves. Through the efforts of their own hands, they tried to cover up the effects of their sin, and God said that's not good enough, and he killed an innocent animal, shed its blood to provide skins, to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. And that's what man's been doing ever since then. If you remember the debate between Ken Ham of the Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis Ministry, as well as Bill Nye, the science guy, back when they had that debate, there was a fundamental point that Ken Ham did not see when he was asking Bill Nye, if there's nothing after this life, if there's no heaven, if there's no hell, if there's nothing beyond the grave, if there's no God, if there's no soul and spirit, and you die, and that's it, then what's the point of all of this learning things? Because when you die, it's all gone. And Bill Nye said, well, there's the joy of learning. But what Bill Nye didn't really elaborate on is a lot of these people, they really believe they may be the generation that overcomes death. They may be the generation that even when the body wears out, they can upload themselves into an android-like body, or a enhanced human body, and they can avoid death itself. And a lot of people really are looking and working towards that, and apparently Google's spending a lot of money trying to research technologies and things to work toward that end. Well, I think that's also a fulfillment that Jesus said that one of the signs of the latter days, it would be as in the days of Noah, meaning Noah. And in the days of Noah, you had the sons of God having children with the daughters of men, and people have speculated about them, the Nephilim. They you'll hear about this every once in a while. They were giants. They were men of renown, and some people think that the fallen angels actually had physical relationships with the women of men and produced these children. My personal thought is that I think they probably possessed men, and they engaged essentially in breeding experiments and really trying to affect the very nature of humanity. And when you look at that, we've done that with dogs, with cats, with cattle, with horses, with chickens, with sheep, with goats, all kinds of animals we've bred and selectively bred in order to produce certain types of characteristics in those animals. And I kind of think that's what was going on there. We're doing that today. Militaries around the world would like to produce super soldiers, soldiers that don't get tired, soldiers that don't get afraid, soldiers that can go and endure harsher conditions than what humans normally can, and all these sorts of things. And again, it's that transhumanism, the effort to beat back the effects of sin, overcome the curse that God has placed on this world because of sin, so that we can follow the alluring lie of the devil, ye can be as gods. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there today, something that we should be watching over, something we should be concerned about, but at the same time, we should not be disheartened. We should look up, lift up our eyes, lift up our heads, and look up, because as the Bible says, our redemption draweth nigh.